Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Leo Maitland, KCBS Foodie Chap at Young and Yonder, Healdsburg, Sonoma. Josh and Sarah Opatz, good to see you both. How are you?
Likewise. Yeah, good to see you.
You too. Sarah, good to see you, love.
Good to see you as well. Thanks for coming up.
Joyfully, we have cocktails, of course, because we are here at Young and Yonder, where you make incredible spirits. I have to ask you first, Josh, what are you drinking?
I am drinking an old-fashioned here made with our rye bourbon and a little bit of local syrup and aromatic bitters.
And I think it's so sweet that you're sharing your cocktail. What am I drinking?
You're drinking the Blackberry Moscow Mule. So that uses our lime-infused vodka with some locally made blackberry syrup and some Fever Tree ginger beer.
Well, excuse me. Good Lord. Woo, so good. We're going to go around and make that in a few minutes. But first, I want to talk about your story, partners in life, partners in business. Sarah, tell me about meeting Josh. Where, when?
Oh, boy. Well, we met soon after I moved to San Francisco for a job. I met Josh through a mutual friend in Tahoe on a ski trip, and we just kind of hit it off and started dating, and that was, gosh, 10 years ago or so, and 11 years ago, and just got
10 years ago, but feels like a lifetime, right?
Feels yeah. like forever. but yeah,
we did it quite well. It was actually a tequila-fueled dance-off.
Yeah. There you go, see?
Where we...
Thank you, yeah, Josh. Tell exactly. me the full story. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
So, which I won, and, you know, we have some witnesses to that, yeah. but I...
Is that real news, or...
Oh, yeah. No, real news. No fake news here. I definitely won that dance-off. But, yes. Well, it was tequila-infused dance-off.
Listen, joy of joys. The rest is history. Here you are in business together, Young and Yonder Spirits, here in Healdsburg. Tell me about the germ of this idea. Where did it begin, Josh? And when you started out, what were your ambitions? What were your hopes for Young and Yonder?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Healdsburg here. I went to high school here. And at the time, you know, my parents worked in viticulture and winemaking. So I'd always been exposed to that growing up. Yeah. But, you know, when you're a young kid in a small town, the first thing you want to do is find the big city to go, you know, build a bigger life than, you know, like an ag family.
So you looked at Oakville.
Yeah. So... No, so I went to school, got a degree in economics, and then worked in San Francisco. It's actually where Sarah and I met, as she mentioned. And then, you know, as we're working through our careers, so Sarah is in advertising and graphic design. I was doing finance work, and we just looked in the mirror and said, you know, we're young and we're ambitious and we want to do something entrepreneurial. We kind of look to our, you know, our parents and their generation and what they did. And, you know, beverage alcohol came up as an idea. We looked at beer, wine, and spirits and thought spirits was a really interesting opportunity back when we started this.
Well, look at you now. listen, you won me over when I first visited a few weeks ago. I'm loving what you're doing here. Sarah, I have to ask you, were there other things on that list in terms of being entrepreneurial? Were there any other things that almost made the list, or was it always beverage, spirits?
Yeah, you know, I loving graphic design, I always looked at maybe having a studio or kind of pursuing my own graphic design company.
And by the way, you do, I have to say, one of the first things I noticed are the graphics here. When you walk in the door at your tasting room here in Healdsburg, I just love the look, the feel, the vibe. It's almost, I think about when I look at your logo, I'm thinking about the great movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
The Great Gatsby.
There we go.
Which is exactly
1920s, roaring 20s, good times. Pre-prohibition or post-prohibition. When was Prohibition?
Great Gatsby?
Yeah.
Pre-Prohibition?
Pre, right?
No, it was during, wasn't it?
During. It was during. Oh, my gosh.
It ended in 1923, yeah. I believe.
It's ended. We can drink, right?
I don't know.
Cheers to that. Yeah. Prohibition's over.
It's we can. Over. That's all that matters, right?
The old day is here.
Thank goodness. Get the drinks in. So, but I love that you have incorporated this of a talent and brought it to the business.
Well, and I think when I met Josh and saw the alcohol beverage world, it was really appealing to me. And, you know, we drank spirits primarily and cocktails, and there was just this level of creativity with spirits that you couldn't find with the other alcohol. And I think being from a design background and a creative background, it was doing the bottle design, the label design, but also just the creativity that came with creating the flavor profiles of the spirits and everything about this business.
You brought sexy back.
Oh.
With the bottle design, you did. But at the end of the day, they've got to taste good. So, Josh, where did you go for your education in distilling, in spirits?
I went to textbooks and a lot of silly mistakes along the way.
Which is the best part of it, because it is all about learning as you go. And as you go, you make mistakes and that's how you learn. That's how you grow, right?
Yeah. So when we started the business here, we started slowly. So we started by doing nights and weekends. I was finishing up grad school at the time, got an MBA in entrepreneurship, which also fueled the fire to want to do this. And because of that, we basically read several textbooks, like college level textbooks on distillation. We had our first initial distillation system. We also bought a lot of lab equipment to work with distillation and understand different processes, because beyond distillation, there's also other factors that go into making spirits, and you have to know the entire entire process chain from getting raw materials in to putting an end product on a shelf in XYZ location.
Yeah, I mean, lofty ambitions. The fact that you are willing to take it on and do it all yourself is pretty impressive. Was that always the plan, or did you think at some point maybe we'll hire a distiller? Or did you always think, no, from the get-go, we're going to learn this from top to bottom?
Yeah, that's a great question. Sarah and I, early on, just in mapping out the vision of what we wanted to do with our lives, we wanted to be a family-owned and operated business where we can both contribute in our unique ways to create value in a business like this. So I had always seen myself as an integral part of the operation, and that's, you know, and we've realized that. I mean, my brother works here as well. He's taken over a lot of the day-to-day production stuff, but, you know, it's still under the leadership of Sarah and I, and making sure that we move the business forward, and from more than just a production standpoint, but sales, marketing, and all the good stuff that goes with running a business.
So it's, you're like a trio. It's a three-man band.
Three-man band. So yeah, I call myself the janitor. I clean up all the messes, accounting, legal, compliance. Sarah is an amazing graphic designer. Yeah. So as you can see, just by looking around, as you mentioned earlier, all of our packaging was done in-house by Sarah. Shane has that's my younger brother for context, had a degree in enology and microchemistry. So he is very knowledgeable in handling the technicals of production.
Sure.
And he's basically carrying the recipes forward and doing a great job at executing the day-to-day.
Look at that little brotherly love there, isn't it?
That's
by the way, as me and Josh were chatting, you made me another drink. Talk us through this drink, just for the folks listening.
Sure. So that's kind of our own spin on a Moscow Mule, which is a classic cocktail. But what we did was a blackberry simple syrup. And then I did our fresh lime vodka, we have about 4 to 5 limes in every bottle. So it's a lot of fresh lime flavor in that. And then topped it off with Fever Tree ginger beer. Oof. So very refreshing.
I mean, it really is.
Good.
I love it. Cheers. Cheers to you. Thank you so much, darling. Let's talk about your line of spirits. First of all, aesthetically, love the design. Well done, Sarah. Love the bottles. I know there's a story with each one. Let's begin with this one right here, Armand Premium Vodka. What's the story behind the name?
So the story behind the name, it was actually named after Josh's grandmother's best friend. He was this Great Gatsby-like character, always had a martini in hand, was dressed to the nines. And we, like yourself.
Oh, Sarah, please. unnecessary. What?
No, but he was just a very fine fellow.
A dandy, was he?
Yes. Yes, he was. So when we first started designing this and we thought, well, we want a super clean, high-end vodka that is great for martinis. And we thought, you know what? This is kind of epitomizes who Armand is. So we named that after him and gave it kind of a great Gatsby look to go along with his personality.
And is he still with us?
He actually recently passed not too long ago.
But did he ever get to see the design, bottle?
He did. And we're actually working on we're going to put his photo up on our little photo wall here.
I love that.
Yes.
How did he react to it?
He loved it. He was very honored. Yeah. So I think Josh's grandmother, Margaret, then wanted one after her. So
she's next. So you're going to have a bottle of gin called the Margaret, huh?
It's in the release cycle for 2030. So yeah.
Our special release.
2030. That's good. I can't wait for the Liam. Let's move down the road. Next up, we have the Hobbs. Oh, no. Let's do right here, right in front of me. The Young and Yonder. By the way, love this. Lime flavored vodka. Listen, not usually a big fan of flavored vodkas, but listen, one shot of this, it hit me in all the right places. Good. I love it. It's great just on the rocks. Talk us through it.
Yeah, so we were actually a little bit nervous going into the flavored vodka territory just because sometimes that has a bad reputation because of all the kind of fake flavors. But for Josh and I's own personal use, we wanted to make a fresh lime vodka. So, and it was really popular and we loved it. And so we decided to produce more.
And keyword, fresh and also refreshing.
Yes.
That's what I love about it.
Yeah. So what we do is for every 50 gallon batch, we do about 160 pounds of limes. And we do Persian limes. We hand press
them. The lime guy loves you when you show up. Hello. Yes. Can I have 160 pounds, please? Mm.
Yeah, we have to wheelbarrow those things out of there. Yeah. But then we bring them in here. We hand press them. So we extract the juice, but we don't want to do too much pressing because we want to keep the exocarp pretty intact so you don't get a lot of the pith. But then we infuse those limes with the vodka for 24 hours. And so all of that alcohol really soaks up all those essential oils. And then we distill it. So you get a lot of lime flavor in that. But...
And, you know, just for the folks listening who don't know too much about the process, we know that, you know, gin, vodka, the distilling process, much quicker, the whole process, a lot quicker than, say, you know, when you're making whiskey. So talk us through, if you can, Josh, just the journey. For example, Sarah's just talking about the lime vodka here. What's the journey you embark upon to make this?
Yeah, so we were at the time experimenting with using a variety of local citrus to think about how we can maybe present something to the kind of the bar restaurant market that would be like a good modifier, so like a good mixer with other types of spirits. And so we really, like all of our spirits, we start with a broad vision, and then we use lab experimentation and just sensory feedback to tell us when we're doing things right and when we're doing things wrong. So before the lime ever made it to a bottle, we experimented with different types of lime, different types of extraction processes, different distillations in like how many times we distill it or what we did during the distillation in terms of like using whole fruit versus juice. And it's always a broad vision that we refine through research and sensory feedback.
Sure.
And so I think that's basically how we can talk through all of the spirits in the same fashion. Yeah.
Well, I want to move down the road just a little bit to your whiskey right there. The Stave Rubber. I love the name. It conjures up an image of a thief who snuck into your house in the middle of the night and went to your drinks cabinet. Tell me about Stave Rubber. What's the story here?
Yeah, so that's actually named after our English bulldog. So we have two dogs. We're big dog people. In this case, Stave Rubber is named after our English bulldog, Rufus.
Is that the dog with the English accent that I met? Yeah,
exactly.
Hello. You two came from the same place.
So. True, right?
So when we were thinking of inspiration for the whiskey brand. So we basically, right now, for context, we have the rye bourbon, which is a high rye bourbon. Yeah. We're also releasing a single grain, 100% rye whiskey next year. But the Stave Robber label will be represented for both of those products. Stave Robber, as a name itself, comes from, honestly, us moving into this distillery. We moved into, and we had a lot of construction going on, yeah. And our English Bulldog is very timid. And the safest place that he found to hide was in our barrel storage room. And so we wanted to do something along the lines of Barrel Thief, like some sort of, some sort of name association to tie him into our product, because we love him dearly. And so we came up with the Stave Robber, because for people who don't know what a stave is basically the long side of a barrel. So staves basically are what wrap around the two barrel heads, and they're held together by their hoops. And so we thought, you know, whiskey, clearly we have a lot of barrels in here for our whiskey production, and Rufus hangs out next to those things. So we wanted to tie that story together and make the Stave Robber.
It is a great name. The rye bourbon aged in the barrel, for how long?
Yeah, so right now we do 1 year in brand new charred American oak. So it's a 5-grain mash bill. So what makes bourbon is that it's made in the United States. It has at least 51% corn in the recipe, or it's a majority of corn. Yeah. And then it's aged in brand new American oak barrels. So for us, we are a young, growing craft distillery. Yeah. We have limitations on turnaround. And so we experimented with 15-gallon barrels and found that 1 year was a good time period for extracting the right amount of oak qualities and oak tannins out of the barrel. And so what we're doing now as we mature as a business is we're incorporating more 30s and more 30-gallon barrels into the cycle, and eventually we'll move to 53s. But we may, for a 1 year aged bourbon, we're really happy with how the 15s have incorporated some really nice oak flavors into our complex mash bill.
Can I have a little sniff of that just on the nose, Sarah? No excuse for me to drink more. I wouldn't, you know, I'd never drink on the job. Cheers to that. So
we never do. We never drink.
So here we go. I just want to stick my nose in here. Excuse me. Oh, wow.
So it's a rye bourbon, so we do about 56% corn on there, but after that we do predominantly rye. So you do get a little bit of the pepper spice at the end of it. We do about 33% malted rye and unmalted rye, and then the rest is malted wheat and malted barley.
And the caramel on the nose right there.
Yep, that is actually that comes from the American oak. So American oak is really nice at pulling good, vanillin tannins out. And so that bleeds through. When you combine that with some of the rye spice, creates some of that caramel combination.
And in the barrel, one-time use only. Unlike wine, you can use the barrels multiple times. One-time use, is that right?
Yeah, so bourbon in particular, so I want to be just clear that whiskey as a broader category, so bourbon is a subset of whiskey.
Yeah, that's right.
And so for bourbon specifically, we have to use brand new barrels. We can only use them one time.
Yeah.
So what we have, you know, because we're basically buying those barrels, the first fill is always going to be bourbon, because that's the only time we could call it bourbon.
And can they be repurposed for something else?
Exactly. Yeah. So what we're doing on the second fill is we're doing that single grain 100% rye whiskey.
Yeah.
Those can, like, so the broader whiskey category, you can use used barrels, but for bourbon specifically, they're brand new. So so we are using the bourbon, basically our bourbon mash for the first fill, and then we're doing 100% rye grains for the second fill.
Yeah. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I have to say hello to my other friend, my best friend, Gin. Hobbs. H-O-B-S. What's behind the name?
Yeah, so we actually came up with that name while we were doing the research behind Gin, because before we get into any spirit, as we're playing around with the flavor and building the product, we also do a lot of research on the history behind each spirit. And we were doing research on the history of gin and reading about its play with the Dutch Navy and how these sailors used to get their gin rations. And Josh read this one story about these sailors that went into this harbor, and it was so overcome with shipwreck and bodies that they nicknamed it the Harbor of Broken Souls.
Oh my gosh. So, wait, you know you're going to say it like, it's the Harbor of Broken Souls.
Yeah. So we decided to name it Hobbs for short, because Harbor of Broken Souls is a little bit of a mouthful when you're ordering a drink.
It's a little bit like Boulevard of Broken Dreams, but
yeah,
different.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So what we did was we created a label where it's really just the story happening of this battle happening on top. And then as these sailors are falling, they become these skeletons. And then there's this afterworld party happening at the bottom of the ocean with these skeletons drinking gin and having a good time.
Not only did you research the story, but you brought the story to life in art form, in the most intricate way on the bottle. Who did the art for this?
The gin took us about 2 years to probably refine with the flavor profile. The label took about 2.5 years. So it was a
priorities.
Labor of love. Yeah. So I did the initial sketch, sent it off to an illustrator actually in Russia, and he kind of fine tuned the pencil sketch of it. Mm. He sent it back to me, but we needed it in a vector format, which is pretty much a sketch on a computer.
Yeah.
So I had to pretty much redo it on the computer.
Well, it's stunning. I mean, here's what's great. I love stories. It's always wonderful. You know, when someone pours a bottle of wine, there's a story behind it. And likewise here, every bottle you have tells a different story. Let's talk Fellows. End of the line, Fellows and Foragers Absinthe. Again, storytelling, great names. This has got to be a fun part of the job, right, Josh?
It is a fun part of the job, absolutely. So,
Sarah gets her own way with what she wants for the name.
Yeah, so exactly. As soon as I buy into Sarah's ideas, then we...
I have to say, Josh actually is the one that comes up with the concept and the names almost on all of our spirits. He's better at that. And then I take his ideas, kind of filter them, and then design.
You just got some props there, Josh.
Yeah,
what about
he's
that?
He's good at that. He's good.
Let's drink to that.
Cheers.
Cheers to that.
Sarah, I do notice that you are light on the booze, but we have some breaking news to share, right?
Yes, we are adding to the Young and Yonder family here. We are going to have a little baby Opeth's in May. So I'm drinking ginger beer.
So it's going to be Young and Yonder and Younger.
And Younger. Yeah. Well, now Josh and I are getting older. So we thought, well, we have to have a baby. So we keep the, it makes sense to
put
keep
that wee one, put that wee one to work.
Oh, we will. Yeah. We will. Yeah. We need more employees.
Congratulations, guys. That's great news. Fellows and Foragers Absinthe. The story here.
Yeah, so the story behind this is our absinthe has about 70, it has 11 different botanicals. We do about 75 pounds of botanicals per 50-gallon batch. So it's just, you know, very herbaceous. And a lot of those botanicals you can forage for and are local. So we knew we wanted to use the word foragers in here. Absinthe then also has a really rich history just with kind of the Parisian artists and poets. And
I'm hallucinating as you speak.
Yeah, so we wanted to kind of play on that as well. So we took those two aspects. And originally, we're looking at Forager Society, but trademarking has been a little bit of a challenge. So we decided to do Fellows and Foragers.
Well, and I have to say, I love the artwork on this. Again, more storytelling and some fun art.
Yeah, we dressed up foragers, so animals, fox, deer, we dressed them up as fellows. So they're all dressed in suits and as proper gentlemen, and kind of made them look like they would be in a room drinking absinthe together. But so we kind of played off of that name with the illustration.
How much absinthe did you drink when you came up with this illustration?
Sadly, none. I wish I probably should have drank a little more, but it's a fun spirit. You know, I think after we finished gin and just playing around with all the flavors and botanicals, we wanted to do that again, but challenge ourselves even more. And so absinthe it's a tricky spirit to make.
Sure.
So it took a long time, but we're having a lot of fun with it. And we're getting great reviews and great feedback on it, and people are learning.
We may have to do a shot before I leave.
Yeah.
I love that you guys have found your passion and you're doing it together, which is a wonderful thing. Giving folks the opportunity to come and enjoy your passion in a glass, your tasting room here in Healdsburg. Folks can actually come. They can enjoy cocktails that you make right here before them, all your different products on display and available, of course, for purchase. Tell me about the tasting room. What will people discover, Josh, when they get here?
Yeah, so we have a tasting room in downtown Healdsburg. We are open from Thursday through Sunday from 12 to 6. And when people come in, what they'll get is an authentic experience of what it is to be a family-owned entrepreneurs in a small town. We make vodka, gin, bourbon, and absinthe. People that come in can do tastings. We will happily take anyone on a tour through our production facility if they ask. We offer cocktails basically ways to use our spirits in popular cocktails, and maybe in some cases not so popular, obscure ones that just turn out to be really good. We are very transparent. We like to talk about how we make all the spirits. We love to showcase our botanical library that we have in the back. We love to show people our stills and how basically alcohol is made. So it's a great opportunity for someone to have a kind of a low risk environment to ask basic questions about distilling and about the different products we make, and just to have fun with Sarah and I, because one of us is always going to be here. I can guarantee you that.
You're going to get the owners here.
Well, that's the joyful part. I mean, just like in the old days, early days of wine country, you'd go to a winery and the winemakers would be there. The owners would be there behind the counter. And that's true here. You guys literally are here almost around the clock.
We are. Yeah, and it's really fun for us because we just get to chat with customers and get to know people and have built really, really great relationships. Because as much as Healdsburg's kind of a tourist town and a lot of people come in and out, it's still a small community. Yeah. And so we've really been integrated in it.
Which brings me to the next question. To be here at an exciting time in Healdsburg, lots of young, creative entrepreneurship. You're part of the community here doing your cool thing in spirits. How does it feel to be part of this community at this time, Josh?
Yeah, we are really enjoying it. We found that there's a really strong foundation with the local Chamber of Commerce. Other local business owners have been really supportive to basically work with us on collaborations or work with us just to share traffic. So we are really excited to be back in the hometown where I grew up, even though I couldn't wait to leave when I was 16, and now I can't wait to buy a house here when I'm 35. So,
and settle and build your family, which you're doing.
Yes, we're working on getting back here, but Healdsburg's a popular spot. So.
Yeah. Listen, guys, a real treat to hang out with you. This cocktail, remind me of its name one more time.
It's just the Blackberry Moscow Mule.
I think it's a perfect drink for the holidays, right?
Good, yeah. No, it's good. It's good in summer. It's good year-round. Good for summer and good for winter. And
you're going to share the recipe with us so I can put this on the website?
Sure will.
Good luck with all things. Folks, do yourself a favor. Venture here to Young and Yonder Spirits. You'll find them here in Healdsburg, a hop, skip, and a jump from the square. Great cocktails. Two very super lovely, super talented people behind the cocktails. Sarah and Josh, come by, say hello. More on their story, plus the delish cocktail recipe. You'll find it at kcbsradio.com and click on Foodie Chap. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Here's to the Bambino.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.